Chapter 1. Oregon, 1890. Compliments of an overcast sky, a shaft of anemic afternoon sunshine came through the window of the otherwise cheerless kitchen. Even on fair-weather days, the unpainted plank walls, floor, and ceiling made the room seem bleak. Leaning sideways to avoid getting smoke in her eyes, Kate Blakely shoved another chunk of laurel into the fire and settled the range lid back into place. Strings of pitch ignited, sizzling and snapping inside the belly of the stove. The merry crackling had always brightened Kate's mood, and despite everything, she still loved the sound. As she walked back across the kitchen, Kate craned her neck to look out the window at the old willow in the yard. The tree's dense canopy of trailing branches swayed in the light breeze, an indication that it would probably be dark before the storm blew in. From the looks of the clouds hovering over the mountains, they would bring thunder and lightning too, unless the wind picked up. A real sky ripper. The thought made the back of Kate's throat prickle. She forced the tension from her shoulders. There was nothing to do but put a bright face on it and pretend the darkening sky didn't worry her. Her little girl, Miranda, became agitated enough during thunderstorms without Kate adding spice to the stew. Darned weather, anyway. Central Oregon always got a lot of rain, but this year beat all. Here it was mid-June already. She glanced at the lantern that hung from a ceiling beam above her. During the storm tonight, she would have to light the lamps to keep Miranda calm, and that would deplete their weekly ration of fuel. If she expected to save enough from her egg and milk money to make Miranda some school dresses and buy paint for the kitchen, she couldn't use a lamp every time the mood struck. With a sigh, Kate picked up the dog-eared journal and carried it to the trickle of feeble sunlight over the sink. As she circled the slop bucket, used to collect food scraps for the hogs, the swirl of her black cotton twill skirt disturbed a fly. The insect, sluggish from the unseasonably chill weather, buzzed around her head and then swooped down to land on the open pages. Confound it! She waved the fly away and leaned into the light, but still couldn't tell how many tablespoons of rolled sugar the recipe called for. By all rights, she should know the recipe for her grandma's crullers by heart, but her husband had never allowed her to make them. Joseph claimed sweets were as addicting and bad for the moral character as alcohol, especially for females who were feeble-minded and more easily led astray than men. Since Joseph's death, the one luxury Kate spent money on was sugar. Other children had sweets several times a week, and Kate was determined Miranda's childhood from here on out was going to be as normal as she could make it. As far as Kate could tell, neither she nor Miranda had been led astray by their frequent consumption of sugar or suffered any other ill effects, unless, of course, one counted the weight each of them had gained. Kate didn't. Miranda needed meat on her bones, and her own figure was no longer of great importance. If her waist became too thick to be spanned by a man's hands, so be it. The only time a man would have called a grasp her waist would be to help her out of her wagon when she went to town, and not then if she could avoid it.
Ma, you're squinting again. If you don't stop, we'll need another milk cow to keep you stocked with wrinkle remedy.
The devil take wrinkles. What worries me is that I must need spectacles.
Kate held the journal out as far as her arm would reach.
If I don't stop reading by candlelight, I'll be blind as a mole before I'm 30.
Just the thought of having to give up her nightly reading time made Kate feel anxious. For 5 endless years, her husband Joseph had never allowed her to open a book save the Bible. And now that she could read whenever she wished, she couldn't get enough of it. 2-month-old newspapers, outdated catalogs, yellowed issues of Harper's Bazaar. If her eyes failed,